for the public hearings. I'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Griffin.
I'll briefly run through the procedure. My name is Jim Griffin, county attorney. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they're considered to be legislative hearings. Council uses the information they obtain during these hearings to decide how to respond to the application, whether to grant it or grant it with amendments or to reject it. We'll begin each hearing with Mr. Lank telling council what happened at the time your application was before the Planning and Zoning Commission. After he gives that preview, we'll give an opportunity for members of council to ask him any questions they need to ask so that they fully understand the application. We will then open it up and call on the applicant or whomever may be representing the applicant to come forward and tell us about the application and why the application should be granted. After the applicant has presented their case, and they may do it through one or two witnesses or simply the applicant themselves, we will then give an opportunity for anyone to speak who is in support of the application, followed by an opportunity to speak of anyone who is in opposition to the application. Following that, the hearing is pretty much concluded. At that point, if we have a recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission, council can then vote on the matter, or it could decide to defer the voting until a later meeting. Does anyone have any questions about the procedure? Thank you for attending. Mr. Lamb.
Yes, thank you. First application this evening is conditional use number 1835. The application of Appel Tucker Rentals, VFW post number 2931. To consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a VFW post, also considered to be a private club. It's located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 10 acres more or less lying east of Road 607, also known as VFW Road, across from the intersection with Road 608. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on May 28th of 2009. During the Commission's public hearing, and what I'm referring to is a report I've already provided to the council members, the Commission received an exhibit booklet from the applicants on May 18th of 2009. Made reference to the purpose of their application, a site description, references to existing conditions, some photographs, some site considerations relating to zoning, conformity to the surrounding area, the availability of central water and sewer utilities, accessibility to major roadways, environmental concerns, that they were not required to go through the PLUS process, some conclusions, a site plan, a location map, an aerial photograph, existing land use map, protected lands map, a portion of the state strategies for policies and spending map, and approved site plan, our site evaluation for septic, the Del Dot support facilities report, a fire protection plan review report, a portion of the flood insurance rate map of the area, a soils investigation report by JCM Environmental, letters from DENREC in reference to tax ditches, and suggested proposed findings of fact. The Commission also heard comments from DELDOT, the Department of Transportation, the County Engineering Department, the Sussex Conservation District, which was a part of the booklet, David Tidwell, project coordinator for the applicant, Shannon Carmine, attorney with Sergovic and Carmine, and Steve McKay, professional engineer with George Miles and Burrell, were present on behalf of the application and gave testimony. Thomas Brown, Louise King, Ruth Raffer, Kristen Carmen, Chris Raffer, Gary McCray, and Thomas Crow were present in opposition to the application and expressed concerns. Mr. Tidwell responded from the concern that the VFW post would like to provide slot machines, that the facility will not be rented out to outside users, that the VFW post was chartered in 1947, and that the post has utilized this site since the 1950s. There were 21 parties present in support during the public hearing and 9 parties present in opposition. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the Commission discussed this application. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1835 based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, a VFW post on this site will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. The site has historically been used as a VFW post. This conditional use will permit the construction of a new building on the site, and the old building will be used for storage. The county has previously recognized that the VFW is in use and is a known feature of the community since the road has been named VFW Road. The proposed use meets the purpose of conditional uses by devoting approximately 10 acres to semi-public use and allows VFW members to have a place to congregate, hold meetings, and conduct the affairs of the VFW. The VFW activities that benefit the community and the county include patriotic ceremonial activities and charity fundraising events. Other community organizations will use the facility for meetings, including the Georgetown-Ellendale VFW, the Georgetown-Ellendale Ladies Auxiliary, and the Sussex County Chapter of the Vietnam Veterans of America. This conditional use shall be subject to the following. A, there is currently lighting on the property. Any additional lighting shall be screened so that it does not shine on roadways or adjacent properties. B, one lighted sign shall be permitted not to exceed 32 square feet per side. C, the parking shall meet or exceed the requirements of the zoning code. D, the property is not to be rented by any outside groups that are not affiliated with the veterans organization. E, all entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements. F, the hours of operation shall be limited to 9 a.m. through 1 a.m. 7 days per week. And G, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0.
Does council have any questions for Mr. Lang?
I have some more yet.
Okay.
I did receive some letters of support. First letter being from the town of Ellendale. It was received on June 10th of 2009, signed by Dolores Price, president of Ellendale Town Council. We have a letter of support from the Ellendale Volunteer Fire Company Incorporated to its members and officers. We just received a letter from the Ellendale Ruritan Group, or Club, excuse me, also in support of this application, and signed by Clifford Short, Vice President. We have a letter from Margaret Robinson on behalf of the Major Nathaniel Mitchell Chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution, also in support, and a letter from Barbara McGowan, Ladies Auxiliary of the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States, being VFW Post 2931. And I was just handed a copy of the same. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions for Mr. Lang?
It's not a changed use, but it's just a new building.
Right. It's proposed as a conditional use to replace the existing same use on the property, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ms. Carmine.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Sergovic and Carmine, located here in Georgetown, Delaware. I represent the applicant, Appel Tucker Reynolds, VFW Post 2931, who's applied for a conditional use of land in an AR1 district for an expanded VFW Post building. Also in attendance tonight to speak on behalf of this application are Mr. Steve McCabe, professional engineer with the engineering firm of George Miles and Buer, who will discuss the engineering aspects of the project, as well as Mr. David Tidwell. He's the current project coordinator and past commander of the Appel Tucker Reynolds VFW. I'd also like to acknowledge the veterans that are in attendance tonight in support of this application. We have submitted, in support of this application for the Council's review, a project report. As stated, the applicant seeks a conditional use of lands in an AR1 district for an expanded VFW post building. The conditional use of land consists of approximately 10 acres. Located currently on the 10 acres is an existing building, which has historically been used since 1957 as a VFW post. The existing facility is approximately 900 square feet, and it's proposed that it'll be maintained as a storage facility. The expanded VFW post building shall be a separate one-story structure, approximately 3,280 square feet in size. As stated, this property is located in the AR1 zoning district. Under the zoning code, the purpose of the AR1 district is to provide for low-density, single-family residential development with churches, recreational facilities, and accessory uses as may be necessary or compatible with residential surroundings. A private club, such as the VFW Post Building, is a permitted conditional use under the zoning code in an AR1 district. The proposed use also meets the purpose of a conditional use as defined by the zoning code, as it devotes approximately 10 acres to semi-public use and allows the members to have a place to congregate, to hold meetings, and to conduct the affairs of the VFW. The proposed use is also in compliance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The future land use map identifies the property as being in the low-density area, although the primary uses envisioned in the low-density area are agricultural activities and single-family detached homes. The low-density area permits non-residential use and allows district-related services. As stated previously, historically, the property has been used since 1957 as a VFW post. There have been no complaints concerning the current activities on the property, which include, among other things, patriotic ceremonial activities and charity fundraising events. The continuation of such activities shall pose a minimal disturbance, if any, to the residents of Sussex County, Delaware. In fact, even the Sussex County Mapping Department recognizes that this facility is in use, and it's a feature of the community as the road has been named VFW Road. Also, the conditional use of land salt will have no adverse or detrimental impact on neighboring areas. The property is contiguous to vacant AR1 zone property on all sides. The property to the north is an agriculture. Property to the south is vacant wooded land. Property to the east is vacant wooded land. And the property to the west is County Road 607 and is bordered by vacant land and agriculture. It's also been established by DLDOT that the proposed use will have no impact on traffic, and no wetlands shall be disturbed under this application. Most importantly, the conditional use will afford an existing Sussex County VFW post to meet and service the needs of its members in the rapidly expanding district and will serve the public good. At this point in time, I'd like to invite Mr. Steve McCabe to address the council with regard to the engineering aspects of this project.
Good evening. My name is Steve McCabe. I'm a professional engineer with the engineering firm of George Miles and Buer. And what I have before you on the display board is a copy of the conditional use site plan that we seek approval on. We feel that based upon the record and the Planning and Zoning Commission findings that this project poses minimal impact to traffic. We went through DLDOT. We've done a level of service evaluation. The level of service on the roadway is level of service A. No TIS is required by DLDOT. DLDOT has approved our entrance location by virtue of a letter of no objection on the entrance. As far as septic feasibility, we have approved site evaluation from DNREC. This site is not in an area that's going to be served by Sussex County, by virtue of the County Engineering Department's report. Stormwater management, we also feel we're safeguarding the environment. We have submitted and have done meetings and reports with the Sussex Conservation District. We have submitted and received approval on a stormwater management erosion sediment control plan for this site. So we feel that we are in compliance with all the rules and regulations of the Sussex Conservation District for stormwater management. We've also worked with the State Fire Marshal's office. We've submitted our site plan to them for review, which they have also approved. So we feel like we have safety, environmental protection, no impact to wetlands. We've addressed septic issues. We've addressed traffic issues. And we feel like what we have submitted is a firm application. We're not in any flood zones or in any of those areas of concern or of environmental sensitivity. So with that being said, we seek your approval on the conditional use.
VFW Road, is that the road that you said was level service A?
The report that DLDOT supported, yes, level VFW. Of service A. They gave a road number, I believe it's 607, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And we are improving the entrance location. If you look on the site plan that we submitted, the existing entrance location is closer to the intersection of the existing roads, 607 and 608. And in our meetings with DLDOT, we improved the sighting distance by relocating the entrance further toward the center of the property. It's a 10-acre property, and it's roughly rectangular in shape. So by moving the new entrance further away from the intersection, we're creating a more safe entrance.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant? Okay.
Thank you.
At this point, I'd like to introduce Mr. David Tidwell. He is the current project coordinator and the past commander of the VFW.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is David Tidwell. I reside in Georgetown. I'm a United States Marine Corps veteran. I'm past commander, currently serve as building chairman for VFW Post 2931. Our post was first chartered in Ellendale in 1947, and in 1957, we purchased our current site and built the building we currently occupy that same year. As previously mentioned, we've outgrown this 52-year-old building and would like to move into a larger facility that offers central heating, air conditioning, modern bathroom facilities, and be fully handicapped accessible, none of which we have in the current building. In this new building, we will have a full-size kitchen, small bar, video vending and slot machines, and we will have card games and a pool table. These are for our members and their guests, enjoyment and entertainment, as well as a source of revenue for our post. Our post is a private club for members and guests only, not open to the public. Membership is approximately 135. Our post will be family-oriented and will be a non-smoking facility. We will also hold events, which we will sell tickets to raise money for such things as all-you-can-eat shrimp nights, chicken barbecues, chicken and dumpling dinners, bingo nights, and similar types of usages. These usages are customary and normal with VFW Post, American Legion, and AMVETS. All of these usages we can do now, both by code and law, however we like to do so in an updated facility. I believe it's certainly worth pointing out that most of these usages are done now and have been, and we have been doing for the past 52 years without any negative impact on the neighborhood or the Ellendale community. During the past 52 years, we have assisted many worthwhile community functions. To name a few, we provide scholarships to local high school students, purchase textbooks, provide playground equipment for our elementary schools, provide funds for our local veterans cemetery. We do road cleanup on the Avenue of Honor and Patriots Way leading to the Veterans Cemetery. We have assisted several widows in the area with oil and heating in the winter. We provide phone cards and care packages to our troops presently serving overseas. And we help with local ROTC and Boys and Girls Clubs. I believe it needs to be mentioned that our memberships include citizens of our community. Some work in the insurance business, banking and finance, real estate. Some are small business owners, educators, Delaware State Troopers, State of Delaware employees. Many, of course, are retired, and all are good citizens. For example, we have 84-year-old, about to be 85-year-old, Elmer Ennis, who's in attendance this evening, has lived his entire life in Ellendale. He fought for his country during World War II as a U.S. Army, for the U.S. Army. And then there's Tony, who's not with us this evening. He's vacationing in Bermuda. Smart Marine. He served in the United States Marine Corps, just recently returned home from a tour in Iraq. Tony is 34. Then there's Mike, who I believe is also in attendance this evening. a 60-year-old Vietnam vet who saw action in Chiu Lai, Vietnam, was wounded, received the Purple Heart, Bronze Star for his bravery. Mike served in the U.S. Army. When these guys get together at the post and start to tell their stories, both good and bad, and do a little service bragging, it's a great evening. And that's what we're all about, good men and good women coming together to honor our veterans, those on active duty, and especially those serving in harm's way. To raise money for our active duty military who are serving in harm's way, and our veterans, their families, and our communities. This evening, we have over 30 men and women in attendance. Most of them are veterans who are willing to speak on behalf of our application. But out of consideration of your time and ours, I would just ask that at a point where you feel it appropriate that you give them an opportunity to raise their hand and be counted. The veterans of our members of our post, when they were called upon, served their country with dignity and honor. Now these same men and women would like to continue to serve their community as we have done for the past 52 years with that same honor and dignity.
Would you like to call on them to show their hands?
Pardon me?
Would you like to call on them to show their hands?
Yes, I would. Would the members in favor please raise your hand?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tidwell. Based on the record and the presentation tonight, we respectfully request that the council approve this application. And of course, we are available for any and all of your questions.
Any questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here? And we acknowledge all the folks who raised their hand in support. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to this application? I can't see everybody because of the thing. Let the record show that no one asked to be recognized to speak in opposition, so the application is to be considered without opposition. We will close the public hearing.
Mm-hmm. Does council have any discussions before I ask the attorney to read the title? Please read the title, Mr. Griffin.
It's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a VFW post, also referred to as a private club, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 10 acres, more or less.
Is there a motion to approve?
I make a motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve conditional use 1835 with the conditions as set forth by planning and zoning. Further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Please give the reasons for your vote. Ms. Deaver?
I'll vote yes, based on the report from Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Vinson?
Based on a report of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and certainly it's a good thing to do, I think, for the community. I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes. That's a little thing I can do. Thanks for serving. And I'm a veteran myself. And I appreciate you serving. And if you're already there, I don't see any problem. Your past commander is the only guy that's the only landowner you got anywhere around you, and he's favored for it. So it's without a doubt, it's a no-brainer. I vote yes.
Mr. Cole?
I vote yes. It's historically been used as a VFW, and this use is consistent. Yes.
I vote yes, it's a good application, appropriate use. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Civil War.
I was in the
Civil War.
Civil War. Which side was he on?
That's a good point.
We will take a 30-second recess.
Wait a second.
Did you see Elmer in there? Elmer is? You know him?
Wow. That's left ear hard.
That's yours.
It would be earlier.
No. He lives in my district.
So, Mr. Lank, if you'd like to continue.
Yes, thank you. The next item is change of zone number 1643, the application of Land Investments, LLC. It's It's an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR general residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, for land lying at the southwest corner of the intersection of Road 388 and Road 382, and to be located on 1.848 acres, more or less. This application was also reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on May 28th of 2009. Before just passed down to the council members is a copy of an exhibit booklet provided to the commission and a site plan. And that is a part of the record. We heard comments from DelDOT, the Sussex Conservation District. The plus comments are a part of the exhibit booklet. County Engineering made comments. Tim Willard, attorney from Fuquay and Urey Professional Association, was present with Virgil Bullis, real estate consultant, and Ken Christianberry, professional engineer from Axiom Engineering, LLC, and gave testimony. Mr. Willard later submitted proposed findings of fact into the record, and they are included in the my department's report, and they would be at the bottom of page 5 and the top of page 6. Brian Lynch, Wayne McGee, and Pat McGee, residents of the area, were present in opposition to this application and made reference to there is no need for the use intended due to the businesses in the area and in close proximity. Made reference to the Food Line, Harris Teeter, Shop, Antiques, etc. The Deer Run Road is inadequate for truck traffic, especially for deliveries. Traffic concerns and accidents, speed limits presently 50 miles per hour are being exceeded. Parking lot lighting impacting neighbors, concerned about the possibility of increased crime. The area roadways are narrow with no shoulders and in need of repair. The negative impact on the residential character of the area. The negative impact on property values by creating commercial zoning in a residential area. Concerns for the safety of children, pedestrians, cyclists, and horseback riders on Deer Run Road, that the economy will not support the proposed use at this time, and that the use will impact the residential lifestyle and create a hardship on the neighborhood. On May 28th, the commission deferred action. On June 11th of 2009, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated that many years ago, the developer deemed it in restrictive covenants that future commercial use of this site may be applied for to the county. Mr. Smith then stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1643 for Land Investments LLC for a change of zoning from GR General Residential to B1 Neighborhood Business based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the applicant proposes a neighborhood business project to provide retail shopping and personal service uses to meet the needs of the neighboring area. The proposed project is in character with the nature of the area and is consistent with the purpose of the B1 zoning and the comprehensive plan. Two, the proposed project was identified in the original subdivision Hampton Park as Parcel A, reserved for commercial use. Three, the applicant has provided easements for a county sewer pumping station and sewer may be available for the project. The project is included in the sewer expansion region. Four, the property will be served by Artesian Water Company. Five, this proposed neighborhood business area meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance by promoting the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county. Six, this proposed business area lessens congestion on that. Outlying roads and streets by providing for local business at the Route 20 and Road 388 intersection so that the residents and visitors to the area may have their personal service needs met without the necessity of traveling to Route 54 or Route 26. And seven, at this location, there exists a need for B1 zoning to serve the local mixed-use community. There was a motion and second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. And that's all I have.
Any questions for Mr. Lang?
Mr. Willard. Mr. President, Council, Tim Willard with Fuquay and Urey representing the applicant. The applicant is Land H LLC, represented here by Virgil Bullis. Also, Ken Christianberry is the engineer on the project with Axiom Engineering. This is a change of zone. The property is located in GR, Environmentally Sensitive Development District. We're asking for neighborhood business B1, and we're asking that you agree with the commission for the reasons they articulated. I should point out from the get-go that you've considered some projects recently in this area. Most recently, I'm looking at Ordinance 1950, which is a large, about 100,000 square foot of medical conditional use just south of the located project. Mr. Christianberry is going to point out stuff with a light there. And in so doing, the council found that the area is located in an area of existing commercial uses, such as automobile sales, apartments, and grocery store. The area is also developed extensively with residential projects, including Bayside, Americana, Ashley Manor, Swan Cove, Brandywine Assisted Living Project. The project is in an expanding area of Sussex County. And that was in the ordinance when you approved that conditional use. The purpose of the B1 district is to provide primarily for retail shopping and personal service uses to be developed either as a unit or in individual parcels to serve the needs of relatively small area, primarily nearby rural low-density and medium-density areas. This is a little under 2-acre parcel, and as the Planning Commission found and we presented to them, that it's included in a development called Hampton Park. And I hope you all still have, we should have plenty of books that were given to you. If you go to the last tab in the book, you can see actually what was approved in 1975 under the GR. That's the Hampton Park. And you can see the larger parcels A and B at the front when it was designed and approved by the county. When that site plan was recorded, the restrictive covenant included, and that's at tab N in your booklet, that each lot located in the area of Hampton Park shall be used exclusively for residential purposes, except for the proposed commercial areas designated in Parcel A and B, and those are the parcels, or Parcel A is the parcel that we're asking for the change of zone now. And the commission pointed to that as one of the reasons why they believe it was appropriate. I'm going to go through the booklet somewhat. You all know that a site plan isn't worth that much in a change of zone because we'll have to put it forward. But some thought has been given to this project, and therefore you have a site plan in pages 1-3. Ken's got one there that he can put up. And what's intended is a small retail establishment to serve the local community, whether it's, you know, sandwich shop, coffee shop, or other uses that are in B1 that can serve the local community, so they don't have to travel to, you know, higher, more intense uses down the road or on 54. And that's the design we have planned. You can see it there. It's got stormwater in the back. It's buffered. That's in the first three tabs. And you can see also an aerial view on page 2 of the booklet if you can't see it on the board. The area in the vicinity, as I've already stated, if you have tab C in your booklet and on the board, Ken, if you can turn back to that, does have a mixed use in the area, which we believe is a good argument that this will not adversely affect the other properties. The area is known as Roxana. It's unincorporated. But starting at the top, you have two parcels of C1. You have B&G Heating and Air, the Roxana Lodge. There's B1 right underneath that. Right across the street from our parcel is a C1 property. And if you look at the aerial view that I referred to earlier that has the site plan depicted on the photograph, you can see that's a large car business. They deal with foreign and auto repair. And you see the parking lot there in the picture. But that's C1 right across the street. Down on the same side of the street is Twin Cedar Apartments, which is actually commercial. And then you can see the conditional use that I referred to earlier, which is going to call for about 100,000 square feet of office and medical space. Back up across the street again is an existing commercial building, and there are two C1 lots there. And down the street, there's a more of an agricultural project, but it's a specialty commercial greenhouse. I think they do some retail and wholesale. And then down the street even further, the large green parcel is Johnson's Market. So you have fairly large density residential right behind this project, but it's surrounded by mixed use. To further on the tabs there, you can actually see the pictures of those uses I've referred to, and that's at tab E. This is in the environmentally sensitive developing district. Permitted uses in that area calls for retail and office uses as are appropriate, but larger shopping centers and office parks should be confined to selected locations. This is a relatively small project, less than 2 acres, and it's approximately 12,000 square feet that's planned. But your permitted uses under the environmentally sensitive district seems to call for just a project like this. The applicant has given to the county, if you would, two easements, and if you go to tab L, which it has the technical site surveys on there, but what that is property on their property, which they've given to the county by way of easements, and one is in fee. You see that yellow square here? That would be where the county pumping station is, Johnson's Corner Sewer District, and there'll be easements to provide for that. This applicant, as well as other applicants in the area, also donated monetarily to support that project. I think it's significant that the county has recognized this as a growth area in their sewer expansion, and this applicant has cooperated in that effort, not only by giving the pumping station the easements, but also donating monetarily to that project. I've also pointed out to you that the covenants contemplated this concept commercial, although it hasn't been developed as that, and the application is just coming now. It was originally conceived as the higher density residential behind it and commercial up front for small retail, and that's really what we're asking for. In the meantime, the property around there has developed somewhat with mixed commercial use. So therefore, we believe, according to the law and the facts in this case, that a change of zone just to neighborhood business is appropriate, and for the reasons stated by the commission, that is that the project is in character with the nature of the area. These parcels were identified as commercial originally. The applicant has provided easements and supported the sewer project. It isn't consistent with the comp plan. It'll be served by artesian water. They also found that it promotes the orderly growth. I think it's significant, and we maintained at the commission hearing that the recognition in the law for B1 in areas like this, environmentally sensitive areas, can lessen the congestion on outlying roads. This is, you know, what they found in their conditions and streets by providing for local businesses at the Route 20 and 388 intersection so that the residents have more short order goods there and they don't have to travel long distance to hit 54 or 26. You've recently had a few B1s that I think went down. I think this is distinguishable not only in its size, but also because of what's going on around it and the location and the history of the project. That's my presentation. Ken, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Ken Christomary, Axiom Engineering, Georgetown. One other thing that I think Tim didn't mention is we did receive a letter from DLDOT indicating that no traffic impact study was required for the rezoning application. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I think Mr. Willis.
Did you say anything about the level of service on that road, on those roads?
I don't believe their letter did specify that. It just simply specified that no traffic impact study would be necessary.
Any other questions for the applicant?
Could you refresh my memory about this being already in some plans? Was it something that was in the deeds? That the people that bought homes there, it was on their deeds?
Correct. So everybody, if you turn, Ms. Stever, to the last tab, which shows the subdivision as it was approved, it's a GR district. I'm going to get there. And then if you go to the tab right before that, with that site plan, for anyone either that bought in this property, they would be on notice, obviously, that those are the covenants. But the first two paragraphs of that indicate that these two parcels in the front, the two larger parcels, are proposed for commercial
okay,
use.
Okay, I see that. Okay. All right. And that's something that would they signed off on at settlement? Is that what you're legally, how did that work?
Well, it is what it is, which is when they bought the property, I know that sounds profound, but what it is when they bought the property, they're on notice of what they're buying, and that very much includes the restrictive covenants because...
Okay, this is restrictive covenants. It's in the deed. Though.
Absolutely.
Okay, I understand.
You can see the recording information at the top of the page.
Gotcha, okay.
Any other questions for the applicant? Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Okay. Let the record show that no one asked to be recognized. We will close the public hearing.
Does the council have any further discussions? Could you read the title, please?
Ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR general residential district to a B1 neighborhood business district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1.848 acres more or less.
Can I get a motion to that effect?
I'll move that. I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve change of zone 1643. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Please articulate your reasons for your vote. Ms. Deaver.
I'll vote yes. Based on the report from the Planning and Zoning Commission and the fact that if this is part of their deed restrictions, there's the element of surprise is not there, and there is certainly some predictability in this one.
Mr. Vincent.
Based on recommendation of planning and zoning, and certainly that area down there is growing, this could be a good thing, I would think. I'll vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. It's in an area of other mixed uses, and it's not out of character.
I'll vote yes. It's an appropriate application for that area. Motion carried. Mr. Lank?
Yes. Next application is change of zone 1644. The application of Brian McKinley to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR general residential district to a GR RPC general residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, for land lying northeast of Airport Road, also known as Road 488, 2,800 feet northwest of Fire Tower Road, also known as Road 479, and to be located on 140.21 acres, more or less. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on May 28th of 2009. On May 15th of 2009, the applicant provided the commission with an exhibit booklet, which contained an introduction, references to 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance, a series of site plans, plus comments and a response, a wetlands delineation report by 10 Bears Environmental, a traffic impact study review letter from McCormick Taylor, 4 Del Dot, a rare threatened and endangered species investigation report from Environmental Consulting Services Incorporated, included a series of maps, aerials, and photographs. Letters from Tidewater Utilities, Tidewater Environmental Services, Delaware Electric Cooperative, Verizon and Sharp Energy offering utility service, and a draft declaration of restrictions. The Technical Advisory Committee provided comments on or before January 31st of last year in reference to their agency comments, and those comments are a part of the record. We received comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department, the Office of State Planning Coordination. We received a petition at that time in opposition that contained 15 signatures in opposition. Brian McKinley was present on behalf of his application with James Fuqua, attorney with Fuqua and Urey Professional Association, Andrew Hayes of Foresight Associates Incorporated, and Betty Tustin of Traffic Group. and y'all gave testimony. Mr. Fuqua, at the conclusion, submitted some suggested findings of fact and suggested proposed conditions of approval. There were no parties present in support of the application. Marion Wilkinson was present in opposition, submitted a petition with 15 signatures in opposition, and stated that she has had to pay for road easement improvements. She is concerned about the major increases in traffic that Cool Branch being a manufactured home community on a property to the north, has already caused increases in traffic. She is concerned about the safety of children in the area, trash, debris, trespassing, noise, the negative impact on the wildlife in the area, maintenance of the tax ditches, the poor police response time, the safety of pedestrians walking along Airport Road, objecting to the use of Danny Drive, the access easement to the acreage being used as access to a major project, that the use is out of character with the area, and question the need of the project since Cool Branch has not been completed. On May 28th, the commission deferred action for further consideration and to allow Mr. Gordy to participate in the decision if he so desires. On June 11th of 2009, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Gordy stated he would not be participating in the discussion or vote on this application since he was not present during the public hearing. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change zone 1644 for Brian McKinley for a change in zoning from GR General Residential to a GR RPC based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the property is currently zoned GR General Residential. Under this application, the basic zoning and the density permitted in the GR zoning will not change. Two, central water and central sewer will be provided to the project. Three, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, the RPC designation is appropriate since it allows the creation of a superior element through design ingenuity while protecting existing and future uses. The project includes single-family lots, townhouses, and multifamily buildings with a lower density than what is permitted in the GR zone. The project will not adversely affect the neighborhood or surrounding community and is adjacent to an existing 628-unit manufactured home community. Five, according to the county's current comprehensive plan, the project is in an area designated as a mixed residential area. Six, the applicant has favorably addressed the items set forth in Section 99-9C of the Subdivision Code. Seven, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the maximum number of units shall not exceed 473 units consisting of townhouses, multifamily units, and single-family lots. B, all entrances, intersections, interconnections, roadways, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed in accordance with DLDOT's requirements. C, this RPC shall be served by central sewer. D, this RPC shall be served by central water. E, stormwater management and erosion and sedimentation control facilities shall be constructed in accordance with all applicable state and county requirements. These facilities shall be operated in a manner that is consistent with best management practices. F, a system of street lighting shall be installed. G, the developer is directed to form a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of the streets, roads, buffers, open spaces, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. H, no wetlands shall be included within any individual lots. I, as proposed by the applicant, a 25-foot wide buffer shall be established around the wetlands. The lot line shall be adjusted as necessary so that the buffer is outside of the lot lines, and this is noted to only affect a small number of lots. J, 20-foot wide vegetated buffer shall be established along all areas of the development adjacent to land used for agricultural purposes. This shall be shown on the final site plan. K, the applicant has proposed to maintain as many existing trees as possible. These areas shall also be shown on the final site plan. L, as proposed by the applicant, the construction of the RPC shall be phased over a 10-year period with no more than 75 residential building permits to be issued within any calendar year. M, recreational facilities and community buildings shall be constructed and open to use by residents prior to the issuance of the 100th building permit. and a school bus shop shall be provided in coordination with the local school district. The location of the school stop bus stop area shall be shown on the final site plan. Road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments. P, the master site plan and phasing site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. Q, the master site plan shall include a landscape plan for all the buffer areas, showing all the landscaping and vegetation to be included in the buffer areas. And R, the master site plan in each phase of the development shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried with four votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Gordy did not participate in the vote.
And council, I have any?
That's everything I have.
Mm-hmm. Does the council have any questions for Mr. Lang?
The adjoining community, the name of it is what was that again?
Cool Branch.
Cool Branch, right. Okay.
I have an additional petition was brought in, and it contained 28 signatures in opposition. So I have.
And is there some?
One with 15, one with 28.
And you have to refresh my memory. Is there a buffer between the two, proposed between the two?
There's a buffer that was existing for the manufactured home community since it was a park, so there's a 50-foot buffer there.
So they have a 50-foot, is it a vegetated buffer? I'm looking.
Well, you can see part of the, you can see trees along portion of it, and it's still under development.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then there will be a 20-foot agricultural buffer around any lands that are adjacent that are in agricultural use.
Mm-hmm. And there are wetlands on the spot?
There are some wetlands on the site, and that'll be part of their presentation.
By the wooded, okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Lang?
What was the comment from DelDOT? Do you have any comment? Did I miss that comment? About Airport Road out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do get it. Let me get it. Hold on a second. The comments from DelDOT were part of the Technical Advisory Committee report that were received in February 6th. It states that the please use new subdivision manual for design of the subdivision streets and or entrance and provide reference to the website. For this and all future projects, any substation or wastewater facility will be required to have access from the internal subdivision street with no access for direct access to the state-maintained highway. For this project and all future projects, a 20-foot wide buffer will be required from the edge of the stormwater management ponds to the ultimate right-of-way of County Road. The ultimate right-of-way is based on the functional classification of the road. Chip generation diagrams will need to be shown on the plan for this project. All streets will need to be labeled either private or public, and a note describing the responsibilities of maintenance of streets and sidewalks. A proper right-of-way dedication will be required. Airport Road is classified as a local road and thus needs an ultimate dimension of 30 feet from the center line of the road to the right-of-way property line. Airport Road will have to be improved to local road standards, included but not limited to a proper pavement type and structural cross-section, 11-foot travel lanes, and a 5-foot shoulder. Traffic impact study will need to be performed to analyze the safety and traffic improvements that may be needed on the frontage road and inadequate off-site roads and intersections. That was in the Technical Advisory Committee comments. And in the plus, comments from DelDOT, they make reference to the number of units, the location, the zoning, the because this development is proposed for a level four area, it is inconsistent with the strategies for state policies and spending. As part of our commitment to support the strategy, DLDOT refrains from participating in the cost of any road improvements needed to support this development and is opposed to any road improvements that will substantially increase the transportation system capacity in this area. DLDOT will only support taking the steps necessary to preserve the existing transportation infrastructure and make whatever safety and drainage-related improvements are deemed appropriate and necessary. The intent is to preserve the open space, agriculture lands, natural habitats, and forest lands that are typically found in level four areas while avoiding the creation of isolated development areas that cannot be served effectively or efficiently by a public transportation, emergency responders, and other public services. DLDOT strongly supports new development in and around existing towns and municipalities and in areas designated as growth zones in approved comprehensive plans. We encourage the use of transfer development rights where this growth management tool is available. If this development proposal is approved, notwithstanding inconsistencies with the relevant plans and policies, DLDOT will provide further technical review and comment.
And so it says it's going to be served by Central Sewer.
The intent is to serve by Central Sewer. They would have to create either have access to a sewer system provided by another utility or provide a sewer system on site. Or there was even some mention by the applicant in the public hearing of accessing the sewer system that's on Cool Branch, which is owned by the same corporation, I believe. And they would, to do that, they would have to go through a conditional use to be able to connect to that sewer system.
I understand, Lawrence, in the two things you had from DLDOT, one of them said that the roadway needs to be improved upon,
right,
widened, whatever. And the plus comment said DLDOT would not.
They wouldn't pay for the improvements. The developer would have to, basically.
Level four.
But it's level four.
Mm-hmm.
Investment level four, according to the state strategies.
Right.
As you go from level service one through four, one gets almost full support,
right,
of the department or the agencies, basically. Level two gets a little bit less support. And it gets, it goes down to four. When it gets to four, the developer pretty much has to foot all the bill.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Lang? Not just yet. Mr. Fuquay.
Mr. President, Mrs. Deaver, gentlemen. It's hard to sit there sometimes when people are talking. You want to join in, but for the record, my name is James Fuquay. I'm an attorney in Georgetown. I represent the applicant, Brian McKinley, who is actually on behalf of Cool Branch Associates, LLC, which is the owner of the property. With me, Mr. McKinley's right back here, Drew Hayes from Foresight Associates, which is the site designer and engineer, and Joe Coligero, who's with the traffic group, who did the traffic study. Just two housekeeping things because of the questions that were asked. The first item was, not to correct Mr. Lang, but there was a, and I don't like to say negative things about my application, but there was an additional petition submitted. I believe there was 15 names on the original petition, and I believe there was a subsequent petition filed that was three pages with 70 names on it. So I think Lawrence didn't have all those pages.
So I only had one, two, 28.
Yeah, I think there's two more pages to that.
Let me look.
Second thing was the comments that Mr. Lank read from DLDOT on the from the plus meeting. They were the standard level four comments that appears on any level four project. That they weren't really site specific. Basically, what DLDOT's saying is, this is in our level four area, and for planning purposes, we're not going to spend any money there. It would be the applicant's responsibility to do that. And I will be addressing that in more detail in going over the information that I'm about to present to you. There was a exhibit book submitted that's in the record that contains a lot of the things that I'll be referring to. In the planning and zoning recommendation, They mentioned that we had complied with Section 999C, which I don't know whether you're familiar with that or not, because it doesn't normally come before you. But in the subdivision ordinance, any development is supposed to address, I think it's a list of 17 items, and it's Section 999C of the subdivision ordinance. It's really a good summary of any type of land use application as far as residential. So we prepare that on any type of application. Again, it doesn't normally come before you. I did make copies of what we had submitted to the Planning Commission, and I would submit these to Mr. Griffin and ask if he just hand these out to you. I think it is a good summary of the whole project.
Well, I will make a correction. Mr. Fuqua is right. I did have a petition with 70 signatures, plus the original was 15.
The application before you, the proposed site contains 140 acres. It's located on Airport Road, which is County Road 488. It's just southeast of Seaford and approximately 2 miles east of Route 13. The RPC development that we're proposing is planned to contain 473 residential units that would be comprised of a mixture of different unit types, 212 townhouses, 72 multifamily units, and 189 single-family lots. The 473 units would represent a density of 3.38 units per acre, and the development would be phased over an approximate 10-year period. No more than 75 building permits would be requested in any calendar year. As was stated, the land is currently zoned GR, General Residential. No change in the zoning designation is being requested. What we're requesting is the RPC, Residential Plan Community Overlay. The zoning ordinance states that the purpose of the GR zoning district is to provide for medium-density residential use, and the GR zoning under the zoning code permits a density of approximately 4.3 units or lots per acre. And as I said, that zoning already exists. We're not requesting that. That is the existing zoning of this parcel. Also, as provided in the zoning ordinance, in an RPC or an RPC request, the density is adjusted by subtracting the area of road right-of-ways from the total acreage. It's a provision in the RPC ordinance to determine density. So in this application, we'd be required to subtract our road right-of-way, which is approximately 4.3 acres, from the total. That would result in a net development area of 125.8 acres, and with the GR permitted density, that would permit a maximum density in this requested RPC of 547 units. So that's what would be permitted under the RPC ordinance. And again, we are requesting 473 residential units, which is 74 units less than the RPC ordinance would permit. The RPC ordinance also permits a request for some commercial use within an RPC. No commercial use is being requested. There's nothing before you requesting any commercial use in this application. As was stated, the development will be served by central water and sewer. Water for domestic use and fire protection would be provided by Tidewater Utilities, which is, as you know, a public regulated utility company. Central sewer would be provided by Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc., which is the Tidewater company that handles central sewer. And use of both central public water and sewer would be conditions of your approval. Other utilities serving the site, electric would be provided by Delaware Electric Co-op, telephone by Verizon, propane by Sharp Energy, and in the exhibit book, in the record, there are ability to serve letters from all those utility companies, including Tidewater. Mr. Vincent, going back to the question you had asked about DelDOT, there was a traffic impact study that was done in connection with this application. It was prepared by the traffic group, who are our traffic engineers. That TIS is done per the directions of DelDOT. They tell you what intersections to study, what roads to study. The traffic impact study was reviewed and approved by DelDOT's engineers, and certain roadway improvements were recommended under that TIS. There is a copy of that letter from DelDOT in the exhibit booklet. And I'll just briefly summarize that, and if you have any questions, as I said, we have a representative here from Traffic Group that can go into more details. But what that traffic study showed and what DelDOT recommended was that there would be certain improvements done to Airport Road. Those improvements, according to the DelDOT engineers, would be improvements from Fire Tower Road to this site to meet DelDOT road standards. And what that includes is 2 11-foot travel lanes and 2 5-foot shoulders on Airport Road. And also possibly an additional bituminous concrete overlay to the existing travel lanes of Airport Road. In addition, at the site entrance to this site has its entrance from Airport Road. In addition to the entrance itself, DelDOT would require a shared through left turn lane and 1 bypass lane on eastbound Airport Road approaching the site, and a separate right turn lane on westbound Airport Road approaching the site. And then in addition, there are improvements that would be required to Airport Road where it actually intersects with Route 13, as well as also improvements to another road where it intersects with Route 13. In addition, the applicant would be required to fund an equitable portion of some other Route 13 intersection improvements, as well as placing standard bicycle pedestrian improvements along Airport Road. And again, they are spelled out in the DelDOT engineer report on the TIS. That specifically is a letter from McCormick and Taylor, which are the DelDOT engineers, and that's dated August 31st, 2007. The roads within the development will be private. They'll be maintained by the Homeowners Association. There'll be sidewalks on both sides of the streets, and there will be street lights. As I mentioned, as to development access, the main entrance to the development is located on Airport Road, and that would be this entrance right here. And the plan that you see before you does propose a secondary entrance. It's located east of that main entrance, and it also has access to Airport Road. That access is by way of an existing easement that that the applicant has on a road called Danny Lane. So this secondary entrance is down here. This is Danny Lane that comes down Airport Road. And when this was designed, it was designed to keep the bulk of the traffic using the main entrance and a minor portion of the development using the Danny Lane easement access. One of the reasons for the second entrance was possible concerns about emergency situations and things of that nature. At the planning and zoning hearing, there was a concern expressed by Mrs. Wilkinson, who lives on Danny Lane, and she expressed concern over the impact of the development on Danny Lane and on her and the other residents that live on Danny Lane. And as I said, we certainly were aware of that, and that's why we tried to design it to have a minimal amount of traffic there. After the hearing, I believe it was last week, Mr. McKinley did meet with Mrs. Wilkinson, and they discussed the development, and it was represented to her, and I'm representing to you tonight, that we still want to provide this second entrance, but we'd like to design it so it would only be utilized as an emergency entrance to the development. So access to Danny Lane would be provided, but then it would be blocked off by either a gate or fencing or something that would be approved by the fire company in terms of access. So this would not be used. It would add no additional traffic to Danny Lane from this development, but it would be accessible in the event of emergency situation where, for some reason, the main entrance couldn't be utilized. Now, that certainly will result in no new traffic on Danny Lane from this development, and at least was one of the main concerns that Mrs. Wilkinson expressed. The development itself will have a central amenity complex, which is located in this area right here. The amenity complex will contain a swimming pool. There'll be a community center. a tennis court, and also a multi-purpose court, which, as you know, can be used as a basketball court or a tennis court. There's a tot lot located in that area. In addition, there's two other tot lots that are located in other areas of the development. There's a walking trail system that's located throughout the development that also connects into different sections of the development and to the sidewalk system. And as was stated, a school bus stop will be coordinated with the school district as to its location. The development is located in the Seaford School District. It's in the coverage area as of the Seaford Volunteer Fire Company. As I mentioned, it's approximately 2 miles east of Route 13. It's easily accessible to service and shopping and employment areas in the Seaford and Laurel areas, as well as access to Route 13, which, as you know, is the main north-south highway in western Sussex County. The development will have a required homeowners association, which all owners would be required to belong to. The association would enforce the restrictions, collect assessments, and be responsible for the maintenance of the common areas and the recreational areas. The proposed site design creates approximately 55.7 acres of open space, and that's approximately 40% of the total site.
Oh, okay.
The open space preserved includes 33.8 acres of the existing wooded area, so that 33.8 acres of the woods will be preserved, and the 2.75 acres of wooded federal wetlands, which are on the site, are also preserved. That's undisturbed. The exhibit book that I mentioned, it's in the record, contains the wetland delineation. It also has the traffic impact correspondence, which I referred to, and an endangered species report, which was performed in the early stages of the development. The Chapter 99-9C report I already submitted to you. Now, prior to filing our application, we submitted information to the State Planning Coordination Office and attended the PLUS meeting, which, as you know, is a requirement for certain zoning and land use applications. The PLUS comments, quite frankly, were not in favor of the development for one reason, and that is that it's in the Level 4 area as designated by the state under the state strategies plan. So that wasn't a surprise. That's a normal response from the state on Level 4 applications. However, the state strategies plan is actually a plan for state spending. That's what it basically states itself it's for. It's where the state's going to target placing money and doing improvements. In fact, the state spendings plan specifically states that it's not a land use plan, and it recognizes that land use authority in Delaware has been delegated to local governments, and in this case, of course, the Sussex County Council. So again, we understand the state's not going to spend money here. The sewer, the water, the road improvements will all be the applicant's responsibility. As you know also, the state law provides that the local government must prepare a comprehensive land use plan and a series of land use maps, and those land use maps have the force of law, and development, an applicant has to be in conformity with that land use plan. So regardless of the Level 4 designation that is mentioned in the PLUS comments, the relevant and legal designation is that established by the comprehensive plan by the county. And in this case, as you know, the most recent update to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan was adopted by the county in June of last year and has been certified by the state. And it's particularly important in relation to this application and in our response to the PLUS comments. And I have a handout again for you if you would ask Mr. Griffin to pass these down. These are just selected pages from the most recent land use plan. The top page basically shows the future land use plan map, which is a map of the county. And I don't have this in color, but I'll represent to you, and Mr. Lang can confirm that highlighted in red here where our site is located And on the actual colored map, that area is colored an orange color, and it's designated as a, quote, mixed residential area. And that designation is significant because the mixed residential area is listed in the land use plan as one of the seven types of growth area in the county. And if you would just flip over to the second page, you'll see the land use plan lists seven types of growth areas. And if you then would flip forward to page designated at the bottom, 316, there it addresses the fifth growth area, with it, which is the mixed residential area. And what the existing plan states is that the mixed residential areas mainly consist of existing residential developments and lands where residential developments are proposed under the current general and medium density residential zoning districts. These areas already exist in current zoning and are scattered throughout the county. And as I mentioned before, our property before you tonight is already zoned GR. The comprehensive plan goes on to say the following major guidelines should apply to future growth in the mixed residential area. And then it lists three guidelines. The first guideline under permitted uses, it says that in this area, the full range of housing types are appropriate in these residential areas, including single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units. Non-residential development is not encouraged. The second guideline states that the current densities in these areas range from a maximum of 4 homes per acre for single-family detached housing to a maximum of 12 units per acre for multifamily housing. And then the third guideline is that central and water and sewer facilities are strongly encouraged. Our application before you tonight, in accordance with the comprehensive plan, proposes a full range of housing types. We have single-family lots, townhouses, and multifamily units. No commercial use is requested or proposed. Our density of 3.38 units per acre is less than that is recommended for single-family homes, which is 4, and much less than the 12 units per acre, which is recognized as appropriate for multifamily. And as I said, through Tidewater Companies, central water and sewer facilities will be provided. So our application is in full compliance with the Sussex County Land Use Plan and verbatim meets the requirements of the comprehensive plan. In addition, as was stated by Mr. Lank, on the northern and eastern boundaries of the development, we border Cool Branch Village, which is an existing manufactured home park, and that was approved as a conditional use by the county and has a total approved number of home lots of 628. And that is, you can see on here, that's up in here and over here and over here. So it borders up in these areas here. So the general area is already a mixture of different residential uses and agricultural uses. I do have, I think you can see it on there, but these are just aerial photographs from whatever that's called, Google Earth, whatever it is. But it gives you a pretty good view of what exists in that area at the current time. With that, what I'd like to do is turn the presentation over to Drew, and he's going to review the site plan with you and the details of the actual on-site improvements.
Good evening. I'm Andrew Hayes, a professional engineer with Foresight Associates in Newcastle, Delaware. What I thought I'd do is give you a little bit of background on the lay of the land and then move into the site plan. On this aerial photograph, the site is outlined in blue right here. This area is the Cool Branch community. The community actually surrounds about 3/4 of the site. This area in here where you see a open field. This is slated for future development for mobile home lots. The field back in this area is part of the spray irrigation facility for Cool Branch's treatment of their wastewater. In fact, you can see one of the lagoons peeking out of the top of that image. This woodland area over here, it's a little difficult to see, but there are some stripes in there. That's also part of the sewage treatment plant for Cool Branch. They spray both in the fields and then they spray in the woods. And these facilities do butt up against the property, but the way that the spray irrigation is designed, there are buffers in the design of the spray irrigation facility such that windblown spray and things like that do not impact the neighboring properties. So there is existing buffer on each of these property lines. The main entrance for the site is currently right here on Airport Road. You can see the road coming in, and then running parallel to the road are some outbuildings. The site's currently used for pasture of horses and an equestrian facility. You can obviously see there's a track in the site, kind of right in the middle of it. Within the inside of the track, you'll see there are two ponds on the site. They excavated to develop some barrows so that they could elevate the track. And that's a pretty good indication of where groundwater lies on the site.
Pretty close.
within the property, it is. It's probably 3 feet, something like that, in that area. Within the property, there are areas where there are ditches. You can see one running up through the site here. There's also a ditch that's Graham Branch over here that feeds into Cool Branch. There's only one area of 404 regulated wetlands on the site, and it's right here in this part of the woods. It's kind of out in the middle of the site. It's about 2.75 acres in size, and it's all wooded. Describe the site plan a little bit. The site plan proposes the bulk of the density in areas that are already open on the site, areas that are pasture or have been cleared. And you can see that the townhouses are in a grid-like fashion. They're primarily served by alleys so that there aren't garages fronting on the streets. And then the residential lots tend to be on these curving streets through the woodland areas, and then there are clusters of condominiums in the woodland areas. The condominiums would appear to be townhouses, and they're just under a condominium type ownership, but from the outside they would take on the appearance of a group of townhomes. The site plan proposes to mimic the existing track, in fact, that loop road around the central open space in the village green is located directly on top of the track. In the core of it are the clubhouse and the recreation facilities for the community. We would envision that the bus stop would be pretty close to that area too, probably centrally located at the back of the townhouse area. The site plan proposes preliminarily a number of stormwater ponds for the site. These are shown as wet ponds. We believe there are significant opportunities for some green technology BMPs, but the site demonstrates high groundwater conditions, and we anticipate that wet ponds will be the most practical means of stormwater management for the site. With the woods, there's almost 84 acres of woods existing on the site, and on top of that is the 2.75 acres of wooded wetlands for a little better than 86.5 acres of woods overall. The plan, we estimate that about 53% of those woods will be preserved, about almost 34 acres in open areas, and we think that about 10 and a half acres of additional woods will be preserved through selective clearing to maintain wooded lots. There has been a rare threatened and endangered species study for the site. No significant animals were found, or no animals that fall within the realms of that report. There has been a submission for a jurisdictional determination on the wetlands. However, that has not been finalized by the Army Corps. The buffering on the site, there is a group of single-family lots right there on the southwestern corner of the site that abut a adjoining property line. The remainder of the site has some degree of buffering behind all lots and behind all improved areas. The widths of the buffer, it varies through the site. Some of the narrowest areas would be over in this area near the townhomes, and it pinches in a few spots where some of the condominiums are, down to about 12 to 15 feet in those areas. The open areas would be intended to be preserved in as woods. I'm not sure if I touched on it, but the actual site entrance, the proposed main entrance for this facility, is to be located very near, if not exactly, on top of the existing entrance for the site. The wastewater is proposed to be served by a public utility, Tidewater Utilities. We are in discussions with them as to how they're going to serve it, where they want to serve it. The well for the site, it would probably have a well on site to serve for both fire suppression flow and domestic flow, and that would be, again, operated by Tidewater Utilities. With that, I'll turn it back to you, Jim.
Gentlemen, in summary, the proposed RPC creates a superior living environment with a mixture of housing types and recreational amenities. The site is zoned GR. It's already designated as a site that's appropriate for medium density residential use. It's located adjacent to a manufactured home park. The proposed RPC, as I indicated, fully complies with the current comp plan. It offers a full range of housing types. The density of 3.38 is less than the comp plan recognizes as appropriate, and the site will be served by central water and sewer. The applicant will be required to complete the improvements recommended by DelDOT as a condition of this approval. So those road improvements to Airport Road and the other required road improvements will be a condition of approval. As Mr. Lank stated, on June 11th, the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval of our application. It's subject to 18 conditions, their recommendation. All of those conditions are acceptable to the applicant. I would suggest that if you approve this, you would add an additional condition that would recite what I previously represented, and that's that Danny Lane access would only be used for emergency purposes and would be blocked for normal access. With that, we are requesting your approval of change of zone application 1644 for the reasons stated and for the conditions basically presented by the Planning Commission. As you know, after approval, this will have to come back to the Planning and Zoning Commission for site plan review. And we have the ability to make some changes to the site plan that may be able to improve it. And we will deal with that with the Planning and Zoning Commission if you do approve this. And we thank you for your attention, and we will try to answer any questions you may have.
Does council have any questions for the applicant?
Yeah, real quick, could you review the, back in the comments it said something about if you do not get central sewer, you'll end up with 2 units to the acre. Again, tell me the central sewer potential. Are you going to do it on site?
No.
You're going to
be on site.
There'll be none on site. So if you cannot hook into Cedar, who's a neighbor? Isn't there a neighboring
Cool Branch.
Cool Branch.
Right.
So you anticipate to hook into the Cool Branch? Is that what the anticipation is?
It'll be up to Tidewater. If Tidewater does a regional plant, it would be up to Tidewater to determine that. But certainly one of our alternatives is to tie into the Cool Branch. Again, that would require getting conditional use approval.
So one of the let's say all that falls through, you don't intend to go in here and then knock down a bunch of trees to make a big septic field to do an on-site system?
No. In fact, again, there's no on-site disposal or treatment planned, and that can be a condition of approval.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe that ought to be in here, because if you don't get any of this other stuff, you've stated you'll go 2 units to the acre.
If you want to make that clarification, that's certainly what we're representing.
Right. No problem being a condition.
No.
All right. If Jim can make some notes to that. Thank you.
Any other questions?
A couple. Real quick, Mr. Fuqua, if you would tell me the difference, the allowed units on the GR versus GR-RPC. Now it's zone ZR today, correct? Or GR today. And how many could you put on there today?
I can't be specific because it would require a site plan. But what the zoning ordinance would permit basically is 10,000 square foot lots.
Okay.
That comes out to 4.35 lots per acre.
That wetland zone.
Right. Now that, again, it would have to be site planned. Okay. So you wouldn't get that much density. But that's what the zoning ordinance.
And with the RPC, you're putting 3.
Our actual density is 3.38.
So they could put more if they want. You could, under an RPC, you could ask for more.
We could request more. We're not requesting more.
Right. No. But you're proposing.
Okay. You have to deduct the dedicated street right of ways.
Right.
Right. You wouldn't
then you
truly
create
get that
calculation
number.
Based on the
right
4.35.
And your thought that on Danny Lane, you would have that. Only for an emergency type thing, so it would be a locked gate or some kind of an access down there. Who maintains Danny Lane?
The residents of Danny Lane maintain it, as far as I know.
Okay.
When a portion of this property was purchased, this was actually purchased in a couple different sections, but when this section was purchased, there was an easement granted for Danny Lane, so I assume the same owner developed Danny Lane as well as who owned this.
Okay.
So we have a legal right to use that. And as I've explained, we understand that would be a burden on the people that live there, would interfere with their privacy, and we understand why they wouldn't want it, and we agree with that.
Is it a paved road?
I think the people from Danny Lane are here, so I think they can address that better than I can. I rode by it. I can't say
actually,
I really
don't know, in other
got
words.
Out and looked.
Dancing around that one.
And the only other thing I would like to make sure on the record, the only thing I know Mr. Fuqua misstated a while ago is that this area is served by the Blades Fire Department, not the Seaford Fire Department.
That's a mistake I always try not to make.
I would not want to let them think that. That's correct.
That's his only mistake?
No, not this.
Okay, that's better.
Running long didn't help. Any other questions?
Do you think that the stormwater management is state-of-the-art? Do you think it's best practices that you're talking about those little fake lakes, aren't you? You know.
Oh, they're not fake.
Those little holes in the ground. Isn't that what you're trying?
They're stormwater management ponds.
You're going to have those?
Yeah, on a site this size, 140 acres, and they're internalized to a large extent, and again, with the wooded area that's being maintained, you know, I think it'll be a proper mix of ways to deal with the stormwater.
And they may change, right? They're not necessarily, this is just conceptual at this point?
Yeah, we have to go back for site plan review if this is approved. And, of course, that's estimating what they'll be. It very likely will be less than that.
Mm-hmm. Because you have some here in the trees, and I guess they're just, you could minimize maybe those ponds because they have to remove a lot of trees. So maybe you could double up some of the others or... There's another number of things that are possible. And the other reason you can do the RPC is because you get the flexibility in the type of housing. And a GR, you can only do manufactured housing, stick-built, But it's only going to be single family.
In the GR, you could only do lots.
But it's only single family.
It could be single family stick built or manufactured
or anything,
homes.
Anything, but only
you could
single
have,
family.
You could have single wides.
No,
in,
yes. It, could even
in the GR.
In the GR, yes.
But you will not have single wides in this project?
No, it's not. Well, it's not intended to have anything in here. Again, the mobile home park is next door, and this would be somewhat of complementary to that, that you have a manufactured home park, and then you have the mixture, basically the rest of the menu of single-family type residences, townhouse, multifamily, single-family lots, and manufactured houses.
Which the GR doesn't allow you to do, but the RPC.
The RPC will, gives you the ability to do that.
Right. So that's
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all, it was just.
I'm just
reason.
Wondering. These are going to be sold.
Yes.
Hope so.
Hopefully.
Well, I mean, you know.
Eventually.
No, I think he means the land,
the land.
Be in fee versus
in fee.
Rental type of property.
Well, the lots, of course, will be sold. The condominium units, as you know, they're sold, but it's a common form of ownership. You have an interest.
I'm just more or less interest in land.
Yeah, it's not a pot nets type development.
I mean, you know, you don't sell it down. They didn't sell the Cool Branch, but this
right.
is available to the public.
Right, it'll be sold.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Is there any connection between any connecting road between that community and the mobile home park, manufactured home park?
There's none proposed. The Cool Branch Park is actually, I believe it's a gated community, isn't
right.
it? It is a gated community, so only residents can go into that park.
Okay,
and
I understand.
So it wouldn't work.
Okay.
When you review Danny Lane, as far as the interconnectivity with the project and the residents of Danny Lane, DelDOT will have some say as whether how it gets interconnected. So you also have DelDOT and the fire company. So it should be both. If you make consideration to approve, then you need to make reference to that, both DelDOT and the
fire company. And that's fine with us. You understand our point is that we're limiting access. That's all.
This shows Danny Drive. This map.
Are you
Google.
Pointing out another mistake?
Google Maps.
Danny Drive?
Danny Drive. It's labeled Danny Drive. I don't know.
But other than the Blades Fire Company and the wrong lane drive.
You did a pretty good job.
Roll.
It's better than normal.
Any other questions? If not, we'll open it up to the public.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in favor of this application?
You're on the record.
It's not a trick. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application?
Take your turns and come
one
on down.
One at a time. We need you when you come to the podium to give your name and your address before you make your statement.
You sat here all night. You better get up there and speak.
My name's Evan Cole. I've lived in Seaford for most of my life. I'm 64 years old. All my family's grown up here. My parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, all the way back to the Civil War, I'm buried down here in Seaford. I have grandchildren, teenage grandchildren, that I want them to grow up in the same kind of environment I'm in now, all right? I mean, I live out in the country. I live right not even a half a mile from where they're going to build this. All right, now, they say, all right, it is affordable only, you know, affordable homes. All right, well, you know what, affordable homes eventually going to be low-income housing. You're going to have drugs, you're going to have crime. Every single one of them have done this. Every single low-income housing, you look at Laurel, Seaford, all these. They got drugs, they got violence, they got all this stuff. This is coming to my neighborhood. I mean, I don't want this in my neighborhood. I want my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, eventually to grow up in the same kind of environment I did. And I don't know how we can stop this. It's getting terrible. My neighbor here, the boundary of his property is the boundary between Seaford and Laurel. We can't move any further outside of Seaford, or we'd be in Laurel. And they're starting to grow. They're growing the same way. Yeah. Eventually, we're going to have one great big borough. We move from one borough to the next. There's no suburbs. There's no country. Now this is what we're getting, and that's what this represents to me.
Did you give your address?
26588 Paul Lane. That's on Atlanta Road. I live on Dillard's Road. My property's on Dillard's Road.
Okay.
All right, it's right down the road from this.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my sisters, all my whole family lives down there. my brothers and sisters, my aunt, or my nieces, and all our friends, we all live there. And everything is growing out to where we are.
I don't believe, though, sir, this is going to be characterized as one of these low-income housing project type things. It takes too much money to do what they're doing to then end up having a product like that. So the chances of that going to that extreme is probably rare, but it's a very slight chance that would ever happen. But I can understand your concern about living in a country and having things change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. All the traffic and why the traffic is just part of it. But it's what's going to bring everything else into the environment, you know? And I don't want my grandchildren, my great grandchildren, growing up in that environment. That's it. Thank you.
Could I get your name again, sir?
Your last name, sir?
Cole.
C-O-L-E.
Thank you.
You're related to George.
George's cousin.
I left Seaford a long time ago.
That's your brother.
I had to leave him behind.
I have a brother named George Cole.
He couldn't make the trip.
You sure this ain't it?
Didn't have any money. We left him home.
I thought he was
supposed to see a resemblance.
Yeah, I grew one of those and looked just like that. White as a sheep. Well, didn't get that long.
He's a lot prettier than you are.
My name is Faye Meadows.
Who are you, Andy, George?
He's a lot younger.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, ma'am.
Faye Meadows, 27101 Dillard's Road, Seaford. I didn't hear anything about Dillard's Road, any traffic patterns or anything, because Dillard's Road is going to be right across from the entrance, and it's going to be a beeline to Laurel. And I think the only improvements I heard for Airport Road were to Fire Tower Road and that way. Most of the traffic coming from Seaford doesn't come that way. It comes the other way on Airport Road. So we're, you know, kind of concerned about the road conditions there. And now I know why we're the last ones to get our road scraped when it rains or when it snows, because we're level 4. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but we're always the last ones to get dug out. But I kind of think the picture that he turned around with all the woods and such looks much better. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
When they find out that George's brother lives down there on that, they'll move you up to level 3.
My brother, too.
They're quiet, Sam. There's more Coles around here than there are Wilsons right
now. Hello, my name is Linda Holcomb, and I have property on Dillard's Road. Dillard's Road is a road that comes right up to where the entrance to that is going to be. My big concern is that we're going to have a lot more traffic. Since we had Cool Branch, they told us, it's not going to be that bad. The traffic's not going to increase that much. They were wrong. We get a lot more traffic through there. We get trucks through there with the, you know, the oil and stuff coming through there. I don't see a lot of improvements. I don't see them doing any improvements. And like my sister said, the road out of there, people are going to be going straight out to 13, which is the opposite way of where he said they were going to do the improvements and widen the road. And also, since they put Cool Branch in, we've had all the wildlife over, you know, in our area. We've got quite a bit of woods right around our houses. But where are they going to go from here? Are they going to, you know, there's deer. There's many deer. There's foxes out there. There's raccoons and everything. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? I heard them say, well, we're going to try to save as many trees as possible. Well, what happens if they can't save them? They're going to try to do that, and they might be able to put the septic system in. What if they can't put it in? You know, what are they going to do then? But everything I've heard is we might be able to do this, and we're going to try to do this, and we're going to see if we can't use that as only emergency exit. Everything is we might be able to do this, and I'm concerned about what if they won't? What if they can't? What do we get then? Do we just stand back and say, okay, do what you want to do? I mean, we like living in the country. We moved there. We build houses here because we like it the way it is. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they put Cool Branch in, and he's saying that Cool Branch backs up to it. It does, but Cool Branch, you have to go down to the end of the road, to Airport Road, to Fire Tower, and turn on Fire Tower Road, and it's down the road a little bit, and then you go in the entrance there. So we don't have the people coming out and into our front yard like this is going to be doing. The people are going to be coming right out of there, and they're going to be coming right down to the area that we, you know, we consider home. We have our houses there, and we have our families there, and there are children down there. We have nieces and nephews and grandchildren, because there's a lot of us that are family down in there, but there's a lot that are not. And that's a big worry for us. And my main concern is that and the trees, I mean the roads. The roads are, the traffic's going to be horrendous coming from there to go to Laurel. They're going to be coming right down Airport Road, going right out to Waller Road and out to the highway. And from what I understand, from what Marion's got paper saying, the state of Delaware says they don't have money to improve the roads. So who's going to improve them? These roads are, Dillard's Road is only a two-lane road. It doesn't have any sidewalks or anything on it. Airport Road is just a two-lane road. So if they're only going to fix the road from, or widen the road from, you know, Fire Tower to Dillard's Road, or to Dillard's Road, because that's where that entrance will be, who's going to fix the rest of it? You know, do we just have to live with it when the road starts getting beat up again, like we did for years? We fought for years to get that road paved, and we finally got it paved, and now we're getting traffic and more traffic and more traffic, and, you know, they're building up and building up. I don't want to live in town. If I want to live in town, I'd build a house in town, not out in the country. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to build up all around us, and I don't mind a little bit of progress. I wouldn't mind if they only had, you know, 100 homes, but they're talking 400 and some homes. To me, that's outrageous, and I'd appreciate it if they would just cut it down to, you know, a lot less homes, or either that or at least get some funding for the roads, get the roads fixed before you want to put in something like that, because we're the ones that have to live it with it. We're the ones that are there, and we're the ones that face it every day, and we just don't like the idea. We got as many people as we could to sign, you know, something, a petition saying we don't want it, but unfortunately, it's not a real heavily, it's not a heavy area of residents, so you can only get the people that are, you know, that it's going to affect. So, yeah, I know. Well, it's unfortunately, it's getting more and more people in there, but that was my main concern, and we just don't want it there. If we can help it, we don't want it there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Was there one more person?
Yes.
Two more.
Okay. Two more.
I don't.
Do you mind if I use your
mic? Certainly. Feel free.
It's upside down.
Upside down.
I didn't know.
Good evening. My name is John Casella. I live at 10901 Airport Road, which is on the corner of Danny Lane, Danny Drive, and Airport Road. You're going to have to forgive me just a little bit. I stutter. I have been doing that since I was 5 years old. I'm now 74. I've lived with it for quite a number of years. I hope that you can live with it for 10 or 15 minutes. I'm right here. Right there. Nice place to be. It's a nice place to be because I can sit on my front porch, look out, look across Airport Road, and when the corn's not growing, I can see for a good half mile. Just nothing but field. Oh, when the corn's growing, I've got a sight line of about 50 feet. I have been in Delaware for about 5 years, so I'm not a
Sussex County
boy. but I came down here from New Jersey, where we sort of kind of lived close together. In fact. When my neighbor sneezed, I could hand him a tissue, and oh, did he have fun on Thursday nights? Some people were quite vocal. You don't have any provision in your plan for low income housing.
That's correct. We do not.
Okay. How about those people who aren't set off the quite well who have some challenges. Shouldn't there be some thought of them? But that's up to the owner. This whole thing reminds me of a folk song from quite a while ago. You might remember it, when they paved Paradise and put in a parking lot. Quite a while ago. Okay. Rainwater runoff. I got lots of housing there. Lots of pavement. Do you realize that 1 inch of rain falling on 1,000 square foot produces 625 gallons of water? How big are your roofs? How big are your parking lots? A couple of years ago, over in Seaford, we had 16 inches of rain, something like that. 16 inches of rain in one afternoon. It caused a lot of damage. Parking lots, cars. Let's see, you're figuring about 1,000 people, 1,000 residents moving in.
Well, you don't need to ask them questions. You got to keep it directed. Okay. Keep it directed to us.
It is going to be. There's going to be at least 500 cars plus. And, well, they paved Airport Road 2 years ago. They came down the road with a tar truck and then spread the gravel after the tar truck. Road was paved. Oh, felt nice and neat. Danny Lane. Danny Lane isn't really that big. In fact, the garbage truck has to back up Danny Lane because there's no room at the end for it to turn around. I know it backs up because I hear it every Friday morning at 6 a.m.
I live on a road like that too, so I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
Let me think if I have any other notes. Rain. Yes, and thanks. Thanks for mentioning that the Blades Fire Company, not the Seaford Company, does serve us. I have no objection to people building, to people they're making money, to people being successful. But has the full environmental impact been fully considered? There are going to be some costs that none of us can visualize at the present time. And not only the monetary, but costs on the environment. I would really appreciate it if the board would think of this and take it into consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
We saved the best for last.
Another cold, huh?
Is it another?
Yeah, but that's why they say it's spec more where I work at. Hi, I'm Marian Wilkinson. Good evening. I live at 26931 Danny Drive.
Oh, and it is Danny Drive.
It is Danny Drive, not Danny Lane. And I'm actually at the dead end. So, and there is no turnaround. So, of course, you know, the road is fairly small. When I first moved out there, as I stated the last meeting, when I first moved out there, I was the last house. So I bought the last piece of property that was available there at that time. And from where my next door neighbor's house is to where my house is, my road was dirt. It was tarred and chipped. And it stopped at his house. And I actually had to pay to finish it from his house to my house, to my driveway. And since then, I mean, state, county, nobody comes out there and tends to the road. We maintain the road ourselves. If we have potholes or whatever, you know, neighbors, you know, they're really good about trying to patch and fill it in. Concern was with me is, you know, the wildlife, the deer and stuff. And the noise, of course, the number of traffic, the vehicles increasing. And I did have a meeting with Mr. McKinley last Friday, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I was more rested when he said he would try to eliminate Danny Drive as far as, you know, traffic, just until, you know, for emergency exit only. I really would like that, like to see that happen, because we really don't have the room on that road for the additional traffic that's coming in. Plus, I have grandchildren, and, you know, I'm the dead end. Nobody's ever back there. I mean, kids run around loose in the yard, you know. And where they're speaking of, where they live, they actually live across where the main entrance, which is right here, is proposed to be. And they live on Village Road, and that is actually, like they said, a beeline right to Laurel. A lot of people, you know, if they come up Fire Tower Road and they make the right on to Airport Road, they go down Airport Road, they see Dillard's, and instead of going all the way up to 13 or to Brickyard Road, they take that left and they just right through Dillard's. So there is going to be increased traffic there as well. And, you know, they're really concerned about that. I think another thing is the townhouses being out front on Airport Road. We spoke about that as well. Even though I live off of Airport Road, if I travel down Airport Road or up Airport Road, I would rather not see a bunch of townhouses. I'd rather see single-family homes out front. I just think it would look a lot more nicer. And I know quite other people, even the people that signed the petition, even agreed to that. They said that they would prefer to see the single-family units out front versus the townhouses. A little unclear, I asked Mr. McKinley. Right here, this is Danny. I'm actually the dead end. There's a ditch that runs across there, and I know 36 condominiums is going to go here, but I'm unclear on how much of a buffer woods is going to be between where the condominiums is going and my house, or, you know, how much of a buffer that's going to be. So I kind of like to know the answer to that. We talked about a gate, you know, putting a gate at the end. If there's enough woods where I can't see the condominiums and people that live in the condominiums can't see me, I'm not really too concerned with a gate. So that's why I kind of would like to know the answer to how much of a buffer is going to be there. And, of course, streetlights, I'm worried about that. You know, and we discussed that as well. I don't want my yard lit up. It's my bedroom. You know, unfortunately, I'm the dead end, and my bedroom's the last part of the house, so, and that's right next to where the condominiums are going. I'm not against the development at all. I think that 470-some homes is a little too much, especially with the economy being what it is today. Cool Branch, as I stated before, is not filled to its capacity. I have a problem with why start a new development or another development when you don't have the previous one that you already own at half capacity. And I understand there is a difference between Cool Branch being rented lots where this one is going to be paved lots. But still, I mean, there's not a whole lot. I mean, Sussex County is what it is. There's not a whole lot of jobs as far as, you know, Seaford and Laurel go. There's just really not, especially right now in today's times. I mean, it's not just here. It's everywhere. The economy is being hit hard all over. So I think that's another thing we need to look at is that really necessary? And again, with the traffic, I mean, traffic's just going to be unreal. I mean, before it was nice and quiet out there. We got Cool Branch. And as I stated in my last meeting, that trumped up a tremendous amount of traffic. Friday and Saturday nights is horrible. Anytime there's a holiday, it's horrible because you have the cars that are coming around. They're coming out of Cool Branch. They're coming down Airport Road, 11, 12, 1, 2 o'clock, boom, boom. And you know it's them because I can walk out in my backyard and I can actually stand there, look at the stop sign on Airport Road, see that car, make that left, go down and make another left into Cool Branch. So you know where the people are going and coming from. I would like to see if the development is approved. This is one thing I did not discuss with Mr. McKinley. I would like to see somebody actually pick up the tab as far as maintaining the roads out there, because since Cool Branch has came, there has been tremendous amount of trash that is on Fire Tower Road and has been left on Airport Road. We did not have the amount of trash there prior to Cool Branch going in. It's nothing to come home and see couches or chairs or TVs. And I mean, you know, I pay my taxes like everybody else, and I built a house, you know, and I want to keep my yard looking nice, and I certainly want to keep my neighborhood looking as nice as possible, too. So, and if I could just get some clarifications on the buffers, you know, I would be better with that.
Okay.
So,
before you go, does council have any questions?
I'd like to ask you a question. You referenced townhouses.
Yes.
And you were concerned that everybody would be close to you. I share some of the concerns with you, but you do understand that it is zoned GR.
Yes.
Which means they would be able to do a GR subdivision, which would mean close to 4 units to the acre.
Yes.
But they'd be single family type of structures.
Single wide trailers, even.
And
whatever.
Mobile.
But single, basically single family structures, whether it's mobile homes, modular homes, or stick built. That's all permitted in a GR district.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that preferable to a community that's going to be a little more creative? It's been able to compact some of it, but you're going to have condominiums and townhouses, which isn't typically seen in this rural part of Sussex County. So are you concerned that maybe the townhouses and condos aren't compatible with the rural nature of your area?
Well, no. Actually, that doesn't bother me as much as the overall size. Me personally, and please.
Well, that's permitted. See, the trouble, Lawrence, the GR district was created when? When the map was created?
That district was created in, I believe, 1971.
Okay, so that's been around that long. So they've been permitted to do, whoever's owned that land has been permitted to develop it into a subdivision at a higher density than most. So that's been that way for 30, 40 years, whatever. But it's only been single-family homes. Now you're seeing this added, this townhouse and condo type of construction out there. That doesn't bother you. It's the size. But the size is permitted, been permitted.
Right. I mean,
it's hard for us to do anything about that.
The townhouses, and please don't take this well. I'm not trying to insult anyone here at all.
I'm a Cole. You can't insult me. I don't know about him.
Me personally, I think Sussex County has way too many trailer parks, way too many manufactured homes. And I worked in Easton for 13 years, Talbert County. Talbert County actually ceased that because insurance-wise, a flood, high winds, heavy rains, I mean, we're all going to pay for it in the long run because our insurance is going to go up. They're not set up to withhold, you know, the winds, right, the storms and stuff. Townhouses, I think, is maybe probably a little bit more better structured. Condominiums, I think, is more better structured.
That's what I'm trying to find out. You're not that concerned about those being introduced into your area?
I'm more concerned with them being on the outside. If they're kept in the back,
where you don't see them, you still think it's a single family home?
Exactly. Okay, and if they're maintained with it, because they did say that it was going to be a homeowners association. So I would assume the people who buy the townhouses, you know, they're going to have to pay into association fees. They're going to have to maintain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'll be tightly run, no doubt.
So, and, you know, again, with the rain, just going to touch a little basis. Back in 2006, I believe, we had that heavy rain. And Walmart area, Brickyard Road, Airport Road was one that, you know, a lot of homes were ruined. A lot of homes. Flood zone. I can tell you firsthand experience.
Mr. Vincent's from Seaford. He can
That's
tell
correct.
You about it, too.
Tell you firsthand experience. This is four districts here that are adjacent off of Cool Branch. Now, I believe Cool Branch does take care of maintaining this ditch. This ditch along here is not maintained. It's maintained by the state. The state comes in and, you know, basically cuts it. I go down with the tractor and I actually cut from the dead end all the way back to where this ditch here, just to keep, because I want my dogs and stuff, and I, you know, try to keep it clean. Actually, this ditch runs off to here. Here does not drain well. And as if when we do get a heavy rain, the ditch that runs in front of my house, because this one here backs up, because it's really not going properly, it just floods everything. All these streets here were flooded, because there's no place for water to go. On Airport Road, there's ditches, but I mean, again, it floods everything. So, I mean, how are we going to address that? Are we going to be putting in culverts? Are we going to be putting in drains? I mean, that's something that really needs to be looked at.
They're supposed to be able to deal with all the stormwater they create on site.
That's how you're a stormwater, George.
Right, they're supposed to take care of stuff like that.
But how is that going to affect the road? Because
we don't know.
That's
we cut them
so
on.
That would be another concern. Right. So, I've been to Jersey before. I haven't actually lived in Jersey. I have
good.
Friends.
Good, don't do it.
No, I have. I like him now. I have some friends that live there. So, I mean, I've been around, seen townhouses and condominiums. I mean, the one area where my friend lives at, very nice. It's townhouse. Yeah. Very nice. I mean,
well, I'm sure that's what they're proposing.
It's maintained very well. You know,
like, we know this price of an average home there. It's did we get that price range?
Yeah. Mr. McKinley and I, he actually showed me one of his models, and it was of the manufacturing home, and it was quite nice. It was, I think it was priced right around $164,000 for just a, so I have no idea because mm-hmm. we didn't even talk about the townhouses and
okay,
the condominiums. And my only concern with the condominiums is that's a little different because the townhouses are going to be owned. The condominiums is, I guess it's going to be like, what, 6 months rent, and you know, I'm more concerned with that. You know, I'd rather have, if you're going to do townhouses and condominiums, either sell them, keep the people in them, or just do all townhouses. I mean, but keep the townhouses in the back.
Lawrence, at site plan review, can the location of those townhomes be mandated by planning and zoning?
Not unless you make it a condition of the approval.
Okay.
But what about buffering between them and the other homes that are already exist?
Already mentioned.
Well, it's already.
She wouldn't see.
Yeah, the buffer could be included.
Buffering.
The commission, well, they referenced 20-foot vegetated buffer along agricultural land because that's what the code requires
yeah.
now.
But this is not.
Let me see what else they reference here. The applicant put a 25-foot buffer around the wetland, but there's no other reference to buffers, but it could be a condition of approval by council.
I think he actually stated, wasn't it, that there was, at some points, there's only like 12-foot setbacks from property lines?
Ooh.
He stated that. The setback would be 10-foot by code.
Well, I know.
In
I'm
the
just
GR
saying,
district.
Well, this is for a condominium.
Since it's RPC, you can make conditions.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're actually showing 12-foot with not just a single family, which is what's
Well, the
but
one 12
multi,
foot,
big multifamily.
The one 12 foot he pointed to was agricultural land, so that would have been a required at least 20 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So it could be a condition for additional buffers from
greater buffers around them
from other places.
It would also help with the drainage, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
That's
A townhouse is one unit.
One unit.
The condominium multifamily, it could be a building of is with how many can be in it.
They said it'd be townhouses on a condo. That would be eight.
Well, they've got a reference area in there.
They have a limitation on the length of the building. They have a limitation on the stories.
Maybe somebody can clarify this. They have 212 townhouses, 72 condominium multifamily units. What's the difference between the two? Because it made it sound like they were all going to be townhouses, but I don't.
Multifamily units could be apartment designs.
Exactly.
They're just designed. It could be still sold as condominiums.
Right, but a building can have house how many? One building can have six or eight units.
But if it's a townhouse, you can have up to eight.
So one building could have eight townhouses.
Or a design. If it's a condo, it could be 165-foot square.
Mr. Cole, do you want a clarification from the applicant?
No, not right now. We'll wait till she gets done, maybe.
But, you know, again, I mean, I've seen very nice townhouses, and I've, you know, up in Jersey and places, so I don't have really a problem with the townhouses. My concern is more with
the problem, ma'am, might be that if it's 12 feet from somebody's property line, maybe not your property line.
Exactly. They're going to
have. If you have a building that's large, 12 feet, it's different than a single family home being that close.
And there are two levels. So,
where was it, Jim? Point to the. Yeah, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple spots that were very close.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's
down near Danny Drive.
Not yet, Jim. We'll give your man over here.
There's actually some houses out here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's some houses that are also on the side. And I went around and went door to door, knocked, and got the petitions.
All right, I got the petitions on. And I can tell you, most of the people who did sign the petitions, when they saw the townhouses, they just flat out, they don't want the townhouses, they don't want the condominiums, they don't want the development at all. You know, they rather keep everything the way it is. And
well, I know that.
If I had my way, too, I mean, I'd say, no, I don't want the development because I don't want the traffic. I don't want the extra people. I mean, I bought where I bought. I built where I built for a reason, to be out in the country, not to be around a lot of people. But, again, with that in mind, you have the townhouses that are here. And if they're in the back, it's not really affecting nobody's property but their own. It's not interfering with anybody out on Airport Road. Certainly
not change the character of your neighborhood as much. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But if I could, like I said, get clarification, I heard, 20-foot buffer?
We'll ask here in a minute. When you sit down, we'll ask.
Tired of me already? But, yeah, that's basically, you know, it. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Can I ask one more question?
Real quick.
What will this do to our property values?
We don't know. It's unknown.
No.
We don't know.
That's an unknown. That's an unknown. It's hard to anybody could never ask that. Yeah. Be a hard one.
Gentleman in the back.
Yes, sir.
You need to
come on
up
down.
Here.
You got to come down. You're new. We got
to
find out who you are.
Tell us your name and your address, and then your question.
David Turner. I own property on Dillard's Farm Road. And the property is within 800 yards of where this project is going in. And I have tried to get the ground perk for a septic system. The dirt on my property is probably the same dirt underneath that. If they don't get a community sewer system in there, if they have to go to individual septic systems on each lot, they're going to have to change lot size.
Yes, they will.
They made clear in their conditions that they will be served by central water and sewer.
And I just heard this evening that if that didn't go through, that they would be served by individual systems.
Well, they would be limited to two units to the acre, which would be an on-site system of some sort.
And that would be governed by?
Not as RPC. It has to have central sewer and water.
I'll be watching with interest who they get to perk it, because if they can perk theirs, I want mine perked.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So if Tidewater can't serve it, it would be a subdivision. That would be it.
Could we have the engineer show us where these buffers, where your closest points are and how many feet approximately with this current plan?
The closest points are along facilities for
the other community.
For Cool Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And the perimeter is Loop Road. So the road is probably within 12 to 15 feet
okay.
of the property line. It's not parallel to the property line. The buildings are on the opposite side of the property line. Similarly, back here against the Mobile Home community, there's a parking lot that has a similar distance, 12 to 15 feet. Over here, the area in question next to the neighbor, there she's actually adjoining the single family lots, and the lot sits at an angle to the closest point on the lot from the property line, about 60 feet, a little in excess of 60 feet of woods between the corner of that lot and the property line. And because of the lot skewed, we would anticipate that the house would be in excess of 75 feet away from it. The condominiums or units are on the opposite side of the proposed street, such that from her house, we would anticipate, depending on where her house is located, the buffering of the condominium units would be similar. However, when she pulls out a driveway and looks to the right up the street, she would be able to see those
units. Describe a condominium unit.
The
how many? Yeah, just what
the proposal right now for condominium units is that they would look similar to a row of townhouses, so that there would be either grouped or individual entries to the units. But in character, they wouldn't take on the appearance of, say, an apartment building or something like that. More along the lines of a townhouse unit, but they're meant for someone that doesn't want to cut a lawn.
Last question would be, you do these things on a CAD system, whatever they call it, right, where it's all just kind of play with it. It shouldn't be that difficult for you to move the condominium or the townhouses that are on the roadway and show us another design and show us the impacts that it would have and maybe the differences? Would that be a great difficulty?
Well, I can try to describe,
conceptual.
I can try to describe some of the impacts. So the townhouse is on the front. It's while we describe it as the townhouse is fronting the road, it's probably about 120 feet or so from the front of the townhouses to the road. There's a large landscaped area here that's probably in the neighborhood of 90 feet wide between the road running across the front side and Airport Road at the front of it. The townhouse units, they were relocated and we put single family houses across the front. I would envision that they would not want backyards of the single family houses facing Airport Road. That would probably involve putting three rows of single family houses across the front so that we don't end up with backyards. We'd have another front loaded street.
Mm-hmm.
And that would push a large block of townhouses back into the wooded area. The reason the townhouses were really sited in those areas were to put the most intensely developed product in the areas that are clear.
The townhouses face, the fronts face the roadway?
Yep. These townhouses, they face the roadway.
They will face the front.
When you drive by, you won't see driveways or anything like that. It's just yards and sidewalk. And it's very nearly 90 feet of landscaped area in front of it between this street and
okay. Any more questions for the applicant? I believe we need to allow the public to speak again. You may come forward. Better state your name and address again for the audio.
Marion Wilkinson, 26931 Danny Drive. I'm sorry, I apologize.
No,
but
that's all right.
In mentioning the movement of the townhouses, also last Friday during my meeting with Mr. McKinley, I had also asked him about would it be possible to move the 36 condominiums, only because
if he could move these somewhere, I don't know, somewhere back further, it would actually eliminate this loop here. And I know Cool Ranch actually comes around to it. And I don't really know how it's all going to flow together with sets that we've done it over with, but there is an access from Cool Ranch. Maybe they could actually come in through Cool Ranch or a fire tower. I don't know, but that was one of the things I did ask them if there was any way that this could possibly be moved so that way
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm John Casella, 10901 Airport Road. These are single-family townhouses.
Correct.
And how many units are going to be in a condominium? Is single families the same as the townhouses? Or?
In a building?
Yeah. Two down, two up, or?
No, in the townhouses, they would just be side by side.
Yeah.
It would be eight max.
Okay, but in the condos?
Exactly the same.
The same thing.
On the land plan. It's
okay.
A two-story condominium that looks, it just looks like a townhouse.
Okay, okay. And the houses in Cool Branch have their backyards onto the fire tower, so the backyards onto the airport road would be the same, wouldn't it?
Thank you. Okay. Any other members of the public? If not, we will close the public record, public hearing.
I think everybody's spoken to
that. About the road, Danny Drive, closing that off. Does that need to be an additional condition?
I think he's referenced that.
I'm going to do that, okay.
It would seem to be a number of questions out here that we need to give some consideration to. I don't think any council member want to rush us through tonight.
I'll make a motion we defer.
Second the motion.
A motion and a second to defer on this application. Any discussion?
Yeah, I'd just like to see the staff work up what you've heard, Lawrence, and some conditions. And
extra buffering?
See if there's any extra we need to add to what's existing.
Close
and
that
any
road.
Modifications. And,
it's something.
And address some of those things we've heard.
It's something.
See how we settle it.
Yeah. This will be placed on a future council agenda under old business, and these issues will have to be discussed at that time. I have a motion and a second to defer. We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes to defer.
Take a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to defer.
Yes.
Adjourn.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson, did you want to say no?
Will we be notified?